When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. After a few little technical difficulties, we're up and running, back in business. It's been a little bit, a week and a half or so. We're recording early, and I guess we'll figure out if this is just going to come out right away.
Yeah, we're recording earlier, really late.
Yeah, right. It's supposed to come on a Friday, but it's going to maybe come out on Tuesday. And we'll record again.
Missing so another week.
Yeah, right. You're like, let's just get one done. All right, Dev, what do you got for us today?
As the world falls around us, how must we brave its cruelties? it's a heavy quote, but it's just fun because it's from Furiosa.
Oh, nice.
The Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. When did you see it?
Oh man. I've been thinking about it a good bit since I watched it, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot more CG in it. I feel like Fury Road is this great stunt heavy. There's a lot of CG, but a lot of stuff in camera.
Right.
And they kind of did the same thing on the new one, but it's a lot more stylized, a lot more. I don't know. It's just they leaned heavy into everything that they did on Fury Road, but made it more stylized, and everything's oversaturated and color-graded, and there's more CGs because there's more, like, close-ups of people's faces while they're under the thing, and it's, like, the main characters and stuff. Right. It's not just random stunt guys doing things, but they still did do that, and they still did build all these great vehicles, but... I thought it was really good. I mean, there's more CG. I think the first one's better, but it's they're kind of like two different things to me.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth is like the kind of bad guy in it, but he's like way over the top. But Mad Max is over. Like they've always been goofy and way over the top, but it's great. Like I really, really liked it. Like he's got this big weird nose and kind of buck teeth to try to make him, I guess, not look as pretty. But
I'm a little surprised. That you like it as much as you did with the way you're describing it. Usually, like when you describe a movie, the way you're describing it,
I like the director. I like George Miller so much just because the Mad Max movies. And
right,
I know they spent like I know what went into it by looking behind the scenes. Like they spent something like 8-9 months or something on the one chase scene. So there was a lot of CG, but they did. So much work for this 15-minute like scene,
right?
That's so bonkers and over the top, but he is such a good way of keeping you in the know of what's going on, even though for how frantic it is, the sense of what's going on is like the place and that person's coming up here. Okay, that one's over there behind that dune coming down. Here comes two more people from behind. Like, you kind of know. It's so wacky and crazy, but the whole time you're kind of, you have a good sense of what's going on.
That's good, especially with, high CG, high action, high speed shots. You know, sometimes it's hard. I mean, unless it's just like a straight shot, right? That's why there's so much of the Mad Max is just like blazing down the road going straight, you know, and vehicles are coming in from the sides, but they're not like turning, you know. Or if you think of like a movie like Baby Driver or something, right? You're like going through the streets and stuff, you know. But I think that like keeping keeping it where you can understand what's happening around you, understand the whole scene. You know, you've got this map in your head of what's happening. That's that can be tricky, you know, and I think that's one of those tricks that filmmakers use, where it's like, to make it seem bigger, you can kind of have things coming from all over the place. Yeah. And you have shots from different angles and stuff. Yeah.
You don't have to have it as well planned out.
Right. You're right.
Like the choreography isn't there. When it's there, I feel like you can just stand back and shoot it to a degree. But it's just, I have to watch it again, basically, and take it in again, because so much was going on. But like, I was constantly impressed. And, like, the characters are really cool, and it's just so wacky and weird and different.
Nice.
Like, you know, it's great, so.
Nice.
Yeah, go watch it, you know, it's on, HBO, if people.
Oh, like right on. That. Awesome. That one, Max. Yeah. Nice, yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
I've always loved anything that's like post-apocalyptic or whatever, you know. It's just, and then the Mad Max is just, it's like a iconic, you know, thing in general. Because like, you, when you think about like, oh, let me put on a crazy costume, like a crazy Mad Max costume or a Mad Max weapon, you know, it's like this post-apocalyptic, super metal, you know, spiky craziness, like, yeah, over the top.
Yeah,
like,
it's
fun.
It's just so much fun, and they explain more stuff about like Bullet Town and the oil derrick and this, and how people go back and forth, and a couple different gangs taking over what, and like how Furiosa became like the main truck driver that she was of the war rig, you know, like how did she get there,
right?
Especially when she, you know, she came from like this family of in this paradise, and like why is she not with her family, and how did she become like the number one chick, you know, in Morton Joe's like army of war boys. It's so cool. Yeah, all the characters. So it's like, it's such a good line of like weird and funny and interesting. It's just pure like entertainment.
Nice. I'll definitely check it out. Yeah, I love all the Mad Max stuff. It's all good stuff. Corinne's actually currently reading the Dies of Fire series again. I think I read like the first book to her. Maybe I might have read the first three books to her, like the actual original trilogy, when she was a little bit younger. But she's reading them on her own now, and so it's fun because she kind of knows what's coming up, so she's like excited to read about it again. Mm-hmm. And then I've been picking her up. After school, dropping her off, picking her up from high school. She's in high school now, Carver, for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So she just finished her first week, yep. And she's been reading it, like, in the afternoons and, you know, whenever free time and stuff. So I'll pick her up after school, and I'll be like, yeah, what's happening now? Like, what part are you on? Because I'm excited to, like, know where she is and, like, relive it in my mind, and she's excited, and it's all. So those who are listening, Dies of the Fire is a post-apocalyptic book that, you know, goes basically like an event happens, and it takes all that makes a elemental change to anything that burns quickly, basically. So no gunpowder, no like rapid acceleration for something, like hydraulics work, but like explosives don't work, you know. So it's, so there's this kind of elemental change that basically takes away all of our firepower, you know, and also electricity doesn't work, right? Because it can't move the same way. So it puts us back in this Middle Ages type thing. And it happens, I think it's 1998 or something when the first book takes place. And it's West Coast, like Portland, Oregon area, the main hub of it in the Willamette Valley. But super cool book if you like post-apocalyptic books. I read a review on it one time that was like, said that it was, it was fun, but it was like too, like everything was too convenient, you know, everything happened too conveniently. Like, oh, we need to learn how to use swords. And then we randomly meet up with a girl who knows how to use swords. And so she teaches us all, you know, and like, oh, we need this thing. And so we run into a person who knows how to do this, you know? So like, but I was like, yeah, you know, but that's fun. Like, it's fun to like, to imagine what would happen if you had this, you know, groups of people that have to now develop a new society and come up with their own clans and whatever and live without law and without, you know, any connection with the outside world, basically. So,
yeah,
they're good. So they're fun.
Yeah, you should, they're, yeah, that would be kind of a funny book of just someone failing constantly in the apocalypse. Like every group they're with dies, and they're just like wandering, and you know, just everything that can go wrong goes wrong. But keep, well, like, I don't know. You had to keep it light, like you know, you go in like, you know, I'm just gonna be a cannibal. And, like, you don't like the taste of it, and they're all like making fun of you because you can't eat people. You know,
you like you're picky.
Like, I had to leave them. Like, those guys are weird.
Yeah, right. You go to like a really successful like, you know, survivalist group, and then they all end up being like whatever. Like, they're all, you know, Satan worshippers or something. You're like, well, okay, I'm gonna like that.
Right.
They're like, or then they're like too friendly. Perverted.
Like, yeah,
it's they like keep trying to it's make like
me sleep. I don't want to sleep with his wife. Like, it's weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
It's like if Seinfeld was a post apocalyptic event.
What's the deal with cannibals?
I would do it, but I don't like the way the skin gets between my teeth. It's like, yeah, I can't take it.
A little messy.
That's a little messy.
So I wanted to I don't know what kind of updates you have, like, about the you getting kicked off your land. You got any updates about that?
Not anything yet specifically. I will say that we sent a rent check in right before Betty passed away, which wasn't cashed until about 3 or 4 days ago. So someone is like going through her stuff and seeing to her affairs. I just don't know who that is. So that's, nothing yet. I don't know. The only reason why we're like hesitant to rush out, you know, like, is there's like maybe some random slight chance that there's something in the will for us, which I don't know if there would be, but you never know. You know, it's like, not that we wouldn't get it, but it's like, you know, if there's some clause or something in like in the property or whatever, you know, that someone's like,
she's like, if they keep sending me checks even after I die and they're honest about it,
then you can give them like a piece of land. Yeah, right.
But if they try to get away with something and they don't pay rent, since I'm not here, you get nothing.
You get nothing.
Right, you got to be honest, Charlie.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we're not sure quite yet. I've not had any update on it. So, I do know that from what I've heard from a few people, this piece of land can be parceled out into three individual properties. So, I don't know what that means, or if that means like when and if Micah gets the property, you know, if they're going to divide it up into three and then, you know, build on three and then try to sell them that way, or if they're just going to try to sell the whole thing off. But the fact that could be parceled into three would make me, kind of lead me to believe that they might try to sell it in three, because I think they could get more for it. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Mm. So yeah, so no real update quite yet. We have been, so Nicole and I are like constantly thinking of like, okay, what do we need to try to get rid of? We need to pare down some stuff, because we are going to have, something's going to change soon. We don't know exactly what. And we're also looking for houses and looking for rentals. And like, so we're like in this like change mindset. And then, just last night I got we got some Chinese food and I got a fortune cookie, and it said, what it said, you will deal with change, in a, like, what was it? It was something you will have to deal with change in a mature manner this November, or something like that. It was like, dang, very specific. I know, right? I was like, huh. You know, it's like, that's the election, presidential elections coming up in November. So that must be why they're aiming at it. But that being said, I was like, that's so specific. We've got so much change stuff coming on. And that wasn't the wording, but it was something like that. You know, you'll deal with change gracefully in November or something like that. I was like, huh, okay. Mm. That's all right. That's kind of cool. We'll see.
All right.
See it happen. So, but yeah, but you know, we're not rushed out of here right yet. So I don't know what's happening, but it's not happening like super fast. You know, it's probably happening as fast as whoever, you know, the executor of the state, whoever has control over it, whatever lawyers or company has, you know, the control over disbanding whatever you know, things that Betty has owned and her properties and things and money. So,
gotcha.
We'll see. But yeah, I mean, she has her house down in the city as well as this one. And I will say that our friend Kate, a couple months ago, she went to buy a pair of Betty Cook's earrings because Betty is a jewelry designer. This is before she passed away. And she went down to her store down off of Falls Road, the store limited. And she went into the store and she was looking at some of the jewelry and she was going to buy a pair. And they didn't have like the pair that she wanted specifically, but they were like, oh, we think we have it, or Betty has it like at her house. So we'll bring it in. So Kate held off and didn't buy it at the time. And then hasn't bought it. And now Betty has passed away. So now all the jewelry is like gone up, you know, like multiple, you know, times over. All the price of everything has gone up.
Because,
you know, she's a well-known, recognized jewelry and designer and artist. Yeah, she has pieces of jewelry in the Baltimore Museum of Art and stuff. So,
yeah.
But Kate was like, oh, I missed my chance. I missed my chance to get some Betty Cook jewelry when it was still, you know, like $150 for earrings or something and, you know, not like $1,000 or whatever. Or I don't know how much. But yeah, so thinking about film stuff, Nicole and Corinne and I are doing two costume events coming up shortly. One is we're going to the Maryland Renaissance Festival on the 9th, September 9th, which is next Saturday. Today is the 2nd. And we're going for Corinne's birthday. So she's turning 15 on the 7th. And so for her birthday, she wanted to go to the Renaissance Festival. So she invited a couple friends, and so we're all going to go down. And the theme for that weekend is
medieval.
It's like myths and mythology from England, or you know, like folk myths. So it's all that kind of like British. You know, I mean, a lot of the mythology and myths and stuff comes from that area. But so we're doing a couple. Yep.
So I was going to say, when are they done? Is it mid-October, end of October they finish?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it not that far?
I think it's like 2 months, yeah. Because I think this weekend or next weekend is the first weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got some
time. All right, well, yeah, maybe I'll go on the weekend before Maker Camp or maybe the weekend after. In between my birthday.
Yeah, what was after? Something's after. Woo! You didn't mute that one.
Huh? I did mute that. It didn't catch.
No, it didn't catch. So Devin has been a little sick. So he's struggling through. It's funny because just last night I was saying I started to get a sore throat. So I'm dealing with it too. But yeah. So
yeah, the whole family got sick. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're a little delayed again, but I'll let you go ahead.
No, I had to mute. Sorry, I was coughing.
Yep, no problem.
And we're in a delay. Okay. No, it's fine. Let's go on to you're designing stuff for
Renaissance. Yeah. So we are doing for the Renaissance Festival. We're doing Corinne's character is the Morrigan, which is the kind of goddess of death and war and that type of stuff. So her costume is like black robe, black kind of tunic dress thing. She's got a black gauzy cape, which has like crow feathers all on the top of it. So a whole like cuff thing that's all crow feathers. And then she has a mask that has crow feathers. And then she'll do this kind of bone and skulls necklace thing that'll hang down the front. So she's all in black. And then Nicole is Brigid, which is the goddess of like life and rebirth and the keeper of the eternal flame and the goddess of the harvest. She's kind of like the opposite of the Morrigan, not exactly the opposite, but more on that, like the light side. So her costume is all like the white and gold and that type of thing. And then I'm going as a character that I've wanted to do for a long time, which is the Green Man, which I'm super excited about. So that's, you know, like all leaves. So the Green Man is like, a lot of times you'll see representations of the Green Man on in churches. Like you'll have the, like just a head and like the beard and the mustache and the eyebrows and the hair all made out of leaves around like a man's face. And so, yeah, so I have like a leafy mask and a whole like collar thing and a goldy green tunic,
which is not cool. just over the crotch.
Yeah. Yeah, not just like pan with the like
Adam style.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was looking up some representations of the Green Man, and that's some of them. They're like walking in like a green bodysuit with a leaf.
Yeah. Sexy.
Yeah, man.
You know, you get all the ladies being sexy at those things, you know. Maybe it's time for the fellas to show some extra scan.
You might have to have like a sexy actual like sexy body to work that, you know. Like, but hey, what are you gonna do? That's like the
nah.
Yeah, but so yeah, so I'm gonna be back. I'm gonna be doing the Green Man again, like I was saying. Yeah, so Green Mask, which I've finished today, which is super cool. So it's all like I have just a regular mask, which then I like completely covered with leaves, and it's kind of coming down like down over my cheeks on the side of my face. So you'll still see my beard. But the like kind of the under like my eyes kind of comes down. There's like ferns, and then it comes up, and there's kind of some different leaves and stuff, different types of leaves all around the face. And then a kind of spikier leafy things that are going up on either side of my head, which kind of like, just a little bit looks like horns, which is kind of cool, but not really, but it's got that kind of spiky profile for the head. So that's fun. Like I said, the green leaf collar is cool because that just kind of wraps around over my shoulders. And then the green tunic, the material that I made the tunic, and it's like a T tunic. So basically like a big T shaped fabric that when you belt it, it kind of tucks in. It's out of like a green fabric with a gold, kind of natural gold like pattern all over the whole thing, and it's made out of like super super fine gold glitter, or not glitter, you know, like super fine glitter. And so it's it doesn't really come off much, except for I did notice like after I was trying it on and like getting the costume made for a day, that I like looked at my arms like the next day, and they were like just this, the hint of shimmery gold like all the way up my arms. I'm like, I could see the gold, but it's the glitter on it is so fine that it's like, it just kind of came off just a little bit, that it just made me look like a god, like wearing like gold shimmery skin. It was super cool. I was like, ooh, this is nice. But yeah, so I have that. And then I have another like kind of viney thing that I'll wrap around my waist to be kind of a belt that kind of then intersects with the top stuff all around my shoulder. So very green, very leafy. That's the Green Man. He's kind of just like a man made out of leaves and green. So that's fun. So I'm really excited about that. That'll be really cool. And, I'm excited to see what other people do, like, because the cool thing about the Maryland Renaissance Festival with the different themed weekends is that when you go on a themed weekend, which I don't know if all of them are, but some of them are, then, you know, the people are dressing up specifically for that theme. So I'm excited to see what other people have for their costumes. And ours will, it's a cool combination of three kind of pagan, you know, mythological gods. So that'll be fun. And then and the other thing, which is super cool, is that about 2 months ago or so, Nicole, she like showed me a thing where there was a call for requests for tickets for the Library of Congress costume ball. So each year the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. does a costume ball. And this year they it's like been getting more and more popular over however long they've been doing it. So I guess I don't know how long they've been doing it this style, but they put out a call for request for tickets. So you can basically put in a lottery. You put yourself into a lottery for a certain amount of tickets, and then because it's so popular, they just choose from the lottery. So it's random, and it's all free tickets. So if you get the if you get chosen, you get your tickets. So we were chosen, which Nicole just found out last Thursday, which is 1 week away from the costume ball, because it's this following Thursday. So, or no, it's 2 weeks. Okay, so because it's not this Thursday coming up, it's next Thursday. So
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So then we're like, okay, fun. Yeah. And the costume ball is film themed. So it's like, you just base your costumes off of a movie. Right. And so we've seen all sorts of different stuff from, you know, from previous years where people are going, one group went as like 50s black and white, you know, like kind of, like what's that that show Mad Men, you know, where it's like they're all just dressed in like suits. Oh, yeah. But all mm-hmm. they all dress like that, but they also put like white and black gray and white face paint on and all, so they like look cool. Like they nice. Were all black and white characters nice. Like walking around like these like nice. Cool 50s dressed up. But yeah, so there's some cool ones. So what we're going to do is we are going as characters from the Labyrinth. And so Corinne nice. Is going to be Sarah. So she's like the main character from Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. But we're going specifically from characters from when she's at the Goblin Ball, like at the end where she's like dressed up in this like, super poofy wedding dress thing. And her hair is all nice. Like up and crazy and pretty. And then she's like walking around in this like creepy costume ball. And it's all people wearing like goblin masks and like fancy Elizabethan costumes, but all, and kind of like kind of piratey, you know, like kind of fancy yeah. piratey goblin ball. So, so Nicole and I are going as like goblin ball characters and Corinne's going as Sarah from, you know, from the Labyrinth. So, it's gonna be cool.
That's great.
Yeah, so we have all these cool like upholstery fabrics and stuff, you know, that you would upholster a chair with. So kind of these heavy brocade, you know, textured, cool color fabrics. So we're kind of going through them and deciding what we're gonna do. So I'm gonna have kind of a pirate puffy shirt with a vest, like a long vest that turns into like a jacket type thing with like coattails and some kind of funky goblin mask and hat and stuff. And Nicole is doing a similar type of thing, that's but hers great. Is more like the kind of piratey girl dress with like a shoulder exposed, you know, corset thing dress. And so, but yeah, it'd be fun. I'm excited. But we have been in like super costume making mode over the last couple weeks, especially this last weekend and this weekend. It's all just, I'm like, right now I'm sitting in the studio and around me is a balloon covered in tissue, which is going to turn into flames. I have a necklace mm-hmm. made out of a fox skull and little crow skulls and bones. And then I have a wig hanging to my right, and I have all the like Green Man stuff all around me in the sewing machine. And so we're like in costume mode right now. It's been fun.
You should take like a panoramic and post it to Instagram or something mm-hmm. when this comes out.
Yeah. And I also,
that's great, man.
I made a, Nicole. So a lot of the images of her character, Bridget, the one that we're going to the Renaissance Festival, she has like, they call her like the keeper of the eternal flame. So a lot of times she's holding in her hand a flame.
Olympics.
Yes. So she's going to, I made her a staff that, it's like, it has a like four metal like rods at the top that are spinning around. And so she has the, she'll have the flame inside of that. So that's like on the top of the staff. So, it's like twisted around. It'd be really cool. So painted white, and then I used like a brass brush. I heated up the steel and I rubbed it with a brass brush, which like turns it basically the color of like brass, like goldy brass, which is pretty cool. So, but yeah.
Well, next time you guys do costumes, you have to run on a GoPro or something. And we are desperate for content on our retired channel right now.
I know, right? Yeah. I keep thinking that. I keep being like, oh, we need, you know, I should be like making, I'm like getting pictures of stuff and I'm trying to get stuff, but it's just like, we're doing it so quickly. You know, it's like a quick turnaround, so.
Yeah. Well, you got to do it the rest of style, man. Just put it up in the corner and then shoot it all, and we'll talk about it later.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, here we are doing this. Oh, yeah, you can see. Right, I think up here is going to be this. Yeah, sure. Yep, you can see. You know, just just run it time-lapse, and we'll do a voiceover.
It's not a bad idea. I should set up like a rig in the studio that I can have like a little tripod hanging up from the shelves or something, you know?
Yeah, well, the rest of style. No, but that's great. Yeah, I can't wait to hopefully get to go to the Renaissance Festival this year. And and something else I was going to say about maybe that costume. I'm not sure.
Staff. Filming, you should should do something with Maeve this year. You know, like bring her along in like some cool little costume.
Huh? Oh yeah. She has a lot of princess outfits already that she dresses.
There you go.
But she probably would love that. Yeah, maybe we've we'll do also, that. It's in between my son's birthday and mine is that Sunday, so.
Ah, nice, yeah.
So the 6th, is one of the Sundays, so maybe I'll go do that.
Oh, man, right on. That's a good one. That's, is the 6th, that's the one before Maker Camp, right?
That's right.
Nice, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm excited for Maker Camp. It's coming up soon, too. It's getting exciting now. There are lots of, things going on, lots of people posting about things and stuff that's happening. And
are you going to bring the same target and gear and stuff? We haven't even discussed like when we're going. I know you're going up Thursday. I bought my tickets. Maybe I'll come with you, or maybe I'll just meet you up there Friday. I don't know. We haven't discussed any of that.
Yeah. I'll need to go up on Thursday. Hopefully, like I'd like to go up a little bit earlier in the day, but you know, if it only makes sense that we go up together, then we could go up in the evening. I just want to be there Friday morning, you know, so get set up and demo on Friday. But Corinne will be coming up with us this year, which is fun. So she's going. So whether we just drive up. Yeah, just she and I and whatever. Like, Sean's going to come too, but he's got maybe work stuff, so he's not 100% sure if he'll be able to come the whole time. So we'll have to figure that out. We'll have to talk and figure out what we're doing. But yeah, so I'll be doing bow making demos again. So I'll be bringing all my bow stuff and bringing the target. And so we'll be set up in a range just like last year. So I'll be able to do like the evening bow shoot stuff and lead that, get people to come over and shoot bows. It would be fun to, I know we've talked about it, to do like some type of, a bracket system, like a shoot off or a points thing where try to get people to come out. Although I like last year, both, I did it 3 nights. So I did it Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. And all 3 nights I had people like waiting in line to shoot like the whole hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever long it was that I did it, you know. And okay, so there are plenty
this
of people.
This is what we do. This is what we do. You know, in Top Gear, how they had that everyone would race the same track in the reasonably priced car, right?
Right. Yep.
You have that type of board, and people write their name on it, and you get. You let people shoot, and then you go like, all right, these last 5 shots are going to be your score, or, you know, or last 10 shots, or whatever you can do.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe 3 shots. You get 3 shots, and there's a point range.
Okay.
You know, bullseye is 10, this is 5, this is 1 point.
Right, yeah.
And then whoever shoots, write your name on this, and we'll stick it up on the... on a board that everyone can see, that at the top is the highest point.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So they're like, look, what's his name came by and he got 30 points. This guy came by and he got 15 points. This kid came by and wowed us all and got 42 points.
Oh, okay.
And then the whole weekend, and then people can come back and try again if they want. Like, you can try like, we'll say you can try twice or something.
Right. Yeah.
If it's that big of a deal, if someone wants to come back and try again and they're in line, be like, all right, you get your second try to improve your score, you know, and just have a real tall, a tall chart, and people write their names on it, and they can like just have like Velcroable, like what's the like a potato sack material? What's that material?
Right, like something burlap. Like that. You know, yeah, right. Yeah,
something
yeah.
cool like that. Like write your name on it with a Sharpie.
Right.
And we'll put your number on it, and then we'll stick it up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a scorekeeper.
Yeah, running a scoreboard of who has the highest score. And that way, yeah, and if you like, mm-hmm. you leave it up so people can see it throughout the day and like. And maybe I was trying to beat. Yeah, you know, we'll have to think of some prize.
You could
have,
yeah,
you
know, could,
like the highest score at the end.
Yeah, a trophy for like first, second, and third, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I like that. That's good.
Stamp out some leather.
That's a low. It's like a low amount. It's a small amount of work that I have to do. it's a low ask. You know, it's like because yeah, like the I more
can
we do,
I can do that part if you want.
Yeah, and I think just like,
you know,
I think putting, again, recognizing people's ability and skill is fun. People see that and then it makes them want to do it, right? Because they're like, oh, I want to try, you know, I want to see if I can match up against these other people. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That's a good idea. One of the guys
I can build the thing if you want.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder what I have. I used to have some chalkboard paint. Could do it chalkboard. That's always kind of cool. You know, they could write it up there. Ch-ch-ch. But
I was going to get rained off.
Yeah. one of the guys last year that came up and chatted with me quite a bit, and you know, before the event and everything was Mike from Big Bear Customs, right? Big Bear, yeah. And Big Bear Custom Metal, Mike, and he was telling me that. Or like over the past couple years, he's like kind of gotten more into bow making. And then he was talking to Jim Smith from the Tradesman Channel, and Jim brought him some, what was it? It wasn't cedar. I forget what it was, but he brought him some bow wood. And so we were all kind of hanging out and talking last year quite a bit. And I've been talking to him a little bit about this year. He said he might bring his draw horse and come and like hang out in the area that I'm working and, you know, kind of work along and pick up some pointers and stuff, which will be cool. But nice. That being said, Mike reached out to me a couple months ago and then just again recently to ask if I was interested in participating in his beer swap at Maker Camp. And all he had to say was, are you interested in beer? And I was on board right off the bat. But the beer swap, the way it works is people bring a 4-pack of like a local craft brew from your hometown or whatever, something nearby or something you like, bring it to Maker Camp. And then I think on Saturday night, I think that's what, let's see, maybe class Friday.
Oh man, if it's open, that's actually a swap I can do for once.
Yeah, right, exactly. It is open, yeah. So it says, let's see. Rules are bring a 4-pack of pints local to you. On Saturday at lunchtime, he'll have folks hand them in. And then Saturday around dinner time, he'll pull 4s out and give everybody the beer. And he said the beer ring will be your ticket. And then, let's see. Yeah, and then the idea was that then we're all hanging out and drinking beers together Saturday night. And I was like, man, that's a good one. I like that. So, so if you're interested in participating, I would say reach out. So for you, Dev, I say just reach out to Mike from Big Bear Customs. Let him know that you want to partake as well. But he said, I asked him if I could talk about it on the podcast, and he said, yeah, sure. He said, just have people reach out to him for info specifically. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, so again, if you're coming to Maker Camp and you want to participate in the beer swap, just bring a 4-pack of like a local beer to you. And, he said a 4-pack of pints. So bring those big 16 ounces and, and then you turn them.
Oh, they good. Do they have to be the tall ones?
Well, he said a 4-pack of pints. And so a pint is 16
yeah, but that
ounces.
Minimizes the local. I mean, some make them in that, but some don't come in that.
I'm sure it's probably fine.
Yeah, I'll ask him. I'll reach out.
Yeah, like whatever. As long as it's a 4-pack that's that's local to you and, you know, kind of a cool beer that you like, I think 12s or 5s is probably fine. But
yeah.
Or bring a 6-pack if you can't bring a 4-pack of 16s. Bring a 6-pack of 12s. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Our quality is, I think, dying here, Dust. You're peaking again. Do we want to end it, do a short arc, or like do some wrap up stuff here, or start again? What do you want to do? Maybe wrap it up with some stuff.
Do we have a delay? I haven't heard it a ton.
Yeah, I'm almost dropping from you. I can't hear you that well.
Gotcha.
Like now it's good, but then it goes to like. Anyway, signal's it's just not yeah. Great. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. A couple things I wanted to talk about. The only other thing that I made recently was I made a hammer handle for my buddy Sean, who I sail with. Not Sean Porter, but another buddy of mine. And it was just very satisfying to make a custom handle. You know, I love, obviously, it's like axe handles, the same thing. And every time I went down into my shop. It's like last, maybe Wednesday night or something, or Thursday night. And, I was like, well, maybe I'll go down. Cause I got the hammer from him. It's one that he got from a guy like 10 years ago who gave it to him when he was just kind of 10 or 15 years ago when he was starting out, running his kind of, he has a business that he does, you know, custom construction and stuff on houses and things. Right. So he'll do bathrooms and kitchens and whatever, like he's doing. He's a general contractor, custom work. And so a guy gave him a hammer years ago, and he always loved it, and it's like it's the one he always wears on him, and he always like uses it, and then it started to break, started to come loose, and he says like it's always like sitting around and people use it, and like sometimes the guys on his crew will grab it and they're like wrenching on nails and stuff, and he's always like, that's like my favorite hammer, you know. But so it started to come loose, so he asked me if I could handle it for him. And so I had it. He gave it to me on Tuesday last week, and we chatted about the stuff that he liked about it, and, you know, like the things that I just want to know, like the parts of the stuff that he liked, so that way I could remake it in a way that, you know, I could kind of exaggerate those things. So I brought it back. I had it on Thursday night. I was like, let me go down to the shop. I had a handle, like an old axe handle that I thought would work well to remake into a hammer handle. Because I really liked the curve of it, because it had that kind of hatchet handle curve. And it has like a nice palm swell at the end that he really liked as well. So I was like, okay, well, that's great. I'll make sure I keep the curve, and maybe I'll enunciate it just a little bit, but not a ton, because it's still got to work as a hammer. And then I'll make a little bit more palm swell at the end. And so I went downstairs, and I'm like looking at the hammer, looking at the old axe handles and stuff that I had. And I was like, well, the one that I thought would work wouldn't really work. So I was like, well, let me look for another one. So I started looking through my hammer, the axe handles and stuff. And I got a couple down that I thought would work. And I was like, well, let me just see like if they're the right length. And I was like, okay, well, those kind of work. And I'm like, all right, well, let me just like, you know, maybe I'll just see if I can loosen up the head and get it off. And then started doing that. And then like 2 hours later, I completely finished the whole thing. Like, so my intention was to go down to the shop and just like see if the handle that I thought might work was the right size. And then I just finished it. I was like, just on a roll. But it was just that, like, I love hanging axes. I love hanging hammers and tools. And I love that, like, that combination of wood and metal. There's something so satisfying about it. So it was fun to do another one. I actually recently got a commission request from a guy who's going to be going on a camping trip with his son in the spring, and so he asked me if I had axes for sale, and I was like, well, I have a whole bunch of axes that are not for sale all the time. so we kind of came like talked a little bit, and it turns out that he's actually local too, so when I do have it done, he's going to come pick it up, and he's going to bring his son, and his son's super excited to come meet a famous YouTuber. Ooh. Like, come meet the famous YouTuber in your shop. So yeah, right on.
That's well, cool. Now you're just an Etsy seller, because that's the only thing our email shows now are our all Etsy sales and communications. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I know, man. I've been selling the crap out of all those wooden swords and daggers. I'm all out of daggers, and I have two swords left. So And that's all the stuff I put up. That's great. Yeah, people are buying them up. I think it's like, you know, it's Renaissance Festival season. So people are like, this is great.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. But that was fun.
Cool, man. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, we can wrap it up. I was looking for a recommendation. We started and actually watched a cool video this morning from Black Bear Forge on YouTube. So not Big Bear Custom Metals, but Black Bear Forge. I probably recommended Black Bear Forge before, but he made a door knocker for the video that he put up today. And it's really nice, like just the variety of tools he uses and the skills that he kind of teaches you and the way he kind of works through it. It's like kind of a simple project, but also, you know, he has two different shops. He has his main blacksmith shop, and then he has this kind of like hand tools only blacksmith shop, which is a little smaller. And he used that for a while, but then he like went back into his other shop and like kind of just showing, talking through how you can do like kind of a more simple project with different tools. And, you know, you can do it by hand, or you can do like, you know, by power hammer, or, you know, forge weld, or using dies. And I just really like the way he does work, and he talks through his videos. So check it out. It's his, let's see, what was it called? It is, sorry, opening up my library now. It is 1, 2, 3, go back. I don't know. I'll find it. That's okay. Whatever. But yeah, so check out Black Bear Forge on YouTube. And it's the video he posted today on the September 2nd of the door knocker that he made. He actually made it for a friend of his who lives nearby, and they had kind of a specific size and shape and look that they wanted, you know, to go along with other stuff. So he had like kind of something in mind, but he was a little bit kind of doing it on a whim. So it's like, it's just the easygoing, fun type of blacksmithing that I really like, that kind of involves some type of, you know, some type of artistic eye to it, and symmetry, and, you know, clean lines and stuff. So it was a cool video, and really nicely done door knocker. So yeah, check it out.
All right. I'll go back again, watch Furiosa, and then also Tested is doing a bunch of stuff on House of the Dragon right now, which is really cool. So and I'm dying slowly here, so hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. I have been watching some of those Tested videos on all the House of the Dragon stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like it's fun hearing them all like geek out about the like how cool it is to make all that stuff, and like the, you know, famous people have made cool weapons and things, and then how they replicate them and all. It's like, that's really cool. Yeah, awesome. All right, everybody. Well, sorry it's a little short this week, but, you know, we gotta survive, we gotta live, and we're trying to make what we can make, and here it is. We are going to try to get some guests on over the next couple weeks before Maker Camp, some guests that'll be at Maker Camp. So we always love the build up to Maker Camp, so listen out for that. Otherwise, make sure you guys head over to YouTube and check out our videos over there. We have a couple that came out in the last couple months, although nothing super recent, although we will be working on our apocalyptic build knife challenge coming up soon. So we'll see how that goes, but that should be fun. So check that out. Let us know what you think. Let us know some comments in the videos. And if you have any questions, you can always ask them there, as well as you can send us an email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com, or you can DM on Instagram. You can follow Devin and I both on Instagram at theartofcraftsmanship and at theartofcameraguy. You can send us messages there. And then if you want to support us further, you could always go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and support us there. Everything that we make from Patreon and all the garb we sell, everything that we make from the channel basically goes back into the channel. So whether or not that's making videos all the time, podcasting all the time, or taking little mini breaks over the summer like we have to, but it's all going back into it to make fun stuff. So alrighty, Devin, thanks so much, man. It's good to chat again. Hey, yep. Everybody else, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.